Red 5, I'm going in.
Stay in attack formation.
Welcome back to Trench Run Report. I know this has been a very long time, but we are going to be back, and we actually do have a lot to talk about. I'm your host, Justin Gray. Here with me is
Aaron Russo, standing by.
Sean McHanley, standing by, and absent is David today, but it's the three of us for now.
So this episode, we're going to be talking about season three as a whole. We're not going to be listing off like each episode by episode down. Right.
I don't think I can remember that.
At the end of this episode, we're going to be talking about the series as a whole and what we think about it and its contribution to the Star Wars universe. So, let's kick this thing off. Bad Batch Season 3. I had fun with it. I think it was in my opinion, it wasn't as strong as Season 1 as far as, just, like, overall tone. But I think it's definitely as good as season two, and I think the thing that stands out in this season is definitely the relationship between Crosshair and Omega.
Yeah,
I think that's like the thing that kept me wanting to come back each week. And I think it's definitely going to be something to analyze when I go back for a second viewing as far as binging it. I think Crosshair was definitely my favorite character throughout the whole series. And I think Hemlock was kind of like a good villain as far as the series goes. It was super weird because I found out not too long ago the guy who voices Hemlock was actually that one inbred guy from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
It's from
Westworld.
Yeah. He's in It's Sunny.
The Man in Black when he was younger. William.
But he's in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's quite a character.
I know him more from Westworld.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that kind of threw me off. I was like, wow, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah,
once you see it, then you're like, oh, yeah, now I see it. You can hear it.
I never
heard it.
Yeah, I kind of did hear it. Like, once the finale came around, I was like, okay, now I kind of hear it. So, but, yeah, I thought it was fantastic. The finale was enjoyable. It definitely wasn't the last episode of the Clone Wars, which I was kind of hoping.
Yeah, not even close.
But I know
not
I
even
know
close to Clone Wars season 7.
Yeah,
I feel like that's gonna be.
That is the high watermark
of the animation era. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that finale is The Empire Strikes Back, The Puss in Boots: Last Wish, the Part 2. Of finale, so I think it's going to be hard to top it. Not impossible, but difficult. But, so, if I had any dislikes, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be more, but I think the lack of talking about Tech's death was kind of odd to me.
Yeah, yep. I agree.
I noted that.
It was almost like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Almost. Not entirely, but almost.
Nobody
like
verbalized anything about it.
Yeah, it was really. Kind of like...
Yeah.
I think...
especially Fee, like, if he had like no reaction to it happening, and they were kind of close.
Even, like, showed like what
happened. I feel like the only reason it was referred to at all was just to make sure that we didn't completely not have it referred to.
Uh-huh.
But I don't feel like it drove any of the characters' motivations.
Right.
I don't feel like anybody really was processing any grief.
Nope.
At all.
It just made room for Echo to like come back and do stuff Tech would have done, because Echo is kind of sidelined when there's Tech.
Yeah, like, I think that's a valid point. I think that was definitely one of the elements of season three where I was like,
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like, there wasn't even like a scene, like, you know, where they break it to Omega and then she is devastated.
Well, especially because like he sacrificed himself so that they could try to save her, but she got captured, and then she gets like captured twice more to get broken out again. So it's like, in that sense, he like, gave his life for no reason, because they kept screwing up, or they got out, and then she got recaptured, and then she like turned herself in or whatever it was. Right. Yeah. But I think it started stronger, then it kind of putzed around. It like limped to the finale in the like second half, because they kind of like spun their wheels or like reinvented the wheel a few times. But like, it started pretty strong, especially with the Odd Couple, like Omega Crosshair Odd Coupling. Mm-hmm. That was like gold. That was really good, and they should have like doubled down on that, in my opinion.
I feel like season one was, I feel like season one started very strong and then kind of petered out a little bit. But I thought that it was very good at the beginning and kind of petered out. Season two for me was like a roller coaster. It was either garbage. I mean, I feel like season two had some of the best and worst of all three seasons.
Yeah.
Season two for me was like, one week I wanted to just throw my lightsaber at the screen, and then the next week I'm like, this might be some of the best Star Wars storytelling in the Disney Plus era.
Right. Usually it's correlated with Crosshair episodes.
Yeah. Like, it was really uneven.
Yeah, uneven.
And then I feel like season three, it just stayed right. It never went too far down.
Uh-huh.
But it never went too far up for me. It
just, we were spared like Sid side mission weeks for the most part, but like when you don't have that, like filler episodes in season three were just like grind it to a halt or like retread the same ground over and over instead of like a side adventure. So
it was,
like,
it was just a
pick
weird,
like pick
it was
one,
weird,
you know,
because like the filler episodes were not truly filler because they were like loosely connected to the story, but I just,
but it gets like bogged down,
feel like the story was going anywhere. It really lost me when, which I said when we were watching it, even though we didn't record it, like when they go through the whole first two thirds of the season just for her to be back on Tantus.
Yeah.
I was like, it just made it, and I was like, okay, all right, that really bothered me. What was the point of all this storytelling? And I thought, but I gave it the benefit of the doubt. Like, it could still finish strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then it finished meh. Like, it just kind of, I feel like by the end, I feel like from the time that she turns herself in to the end, they just played it safe.
Yeah, like, of course she's going to release the monster. She's going to go back for the kids. And, but what I was like, I wish they would have released that, like, X-Men squad, like, way earlier. That they should have been, like, hunting them down the whole season.
Oh, the whole assassin squad.
Yeah, that assassin crew.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been a good foil the whole season. If, like, you have, like, your equals. Like, they're the mirror image of the Bad Batch. Like, and it's a cat and mouse the whole season. And, like, Omega's the football that they're, like, taught. Like, they're, like, losing and gaining the football back and forth. Like a football match. Like, you're losing, gaining ground on the field with this, with, and like you could have like everyone has their nemesis and like their counterpart. Like there's a tank guy that's like Wrecker, right? And then there's like a smart guy, sniper guy that's like Crosshair, and then like it's like their mirror image foil. Like, remember remember that Ocarina of Time battle where you have to fight like Shadow Link?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, he like knows what you're gonna do on your controller before you're doing it, and it's like so hard to beat. They should have done something like that where like these guys are like racking their brains trying to figure out how to defeat these guys, because they're like on the same brainwave as them, because they could have been like clones of them too, because they had their genetic material. They could have been like, we cloned you and upgraded you, and now you got to fight the like better batch, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but plus they waited till the very end, and it was
Empire's
like
Empire's version.
It was cool enough, but like, I'm like, who's who now? Like, who which one's which? And then like, we didn't have enough time with those cool guys. Kind of like the Knights of Ren. It's like, what a squandering of like a cool idea.
Well, even
had,
the one character, you know? Assassin that they did
introduce
us to, he then disappeared effectively until the last episode.
Yeah. And I was like, is that tech? Is that, what is that? And like,
and it was nobody.
Was that just a tease? Like, what were they doing with that?
I think it was very, it was, they somehow managed to, like, when I think about the all three seasons, and you guys tell me what you think, but like, I feel like that was the season three finale was the weakest of the three seasons. Yeah. Regardless of what the all three seasons were as a whole, like, the finale in season one was epic. The Kamino, destruction of Kamino, Crosshair deciding that he's not going to go with them. Like, that scene where he's just standing on that platform all alone. Obviously, the finale of season two was phenomenal. The season three finale, it was like, it wasn't terrible.
Because it's a setup, because they did the time jump and make Omega, like, wanting to be a rebel pilot or whatever. You're like, oh, obviously, this is setting up the next animated show where Asajj is going to be her mentor and, like, you could bring in any of the surviving batch members whenever you want, and now she can go connect with Rex or whatever. Like,
but like that's obviously it's setting up the next thing. That, that the finale only works if they continue that story.
Yeah,
it should be able to stand on its own as a finale.
They should have like announced the next show like the next day. Like, they should have had a plan of like, this is ending, and like Omega will be back in know, the Hidden Path or whatever. Like, coming summer of 2025 or whatever. Like, you have to ride these. You have to ride these waves, like, for marketing. Like, you gotta, if you've got an audience, you like promote your next thing while you've got them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Plus, I feel like the like emotional tension, like for that finale, kind of wasn't there.
No.
I mean, I personally thought they were gonna put emphasis on saving the clones, but
they didn't.
How many clones are?
They almost all got killed.
They just did like this very like.
Yeah.
Very like. Lame scene where they all decide, like, they just give them this little pep talk and they're like, yeah, we're gonna
fight. A few
fight.
Of them are, yeah, we'll
and then
fight.
It was
yeah.
like, then it was done.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I think was so, when the show was at its best in season one, is when it continued to tell the story of the clones.
Yeah, like the Hauser story, that like, kind of, the Hauser Rebellion episode.
I like that scene where was it Wolf, or who was it, was talking to Crosshair at the memorial. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was Cody.
Yeah. Cody, and he was like, you know, and like the backdrop of that memorial and the Clone Wars and the clones and like,
yeah.
And I feel like by season three, they almost completely left that
as a
theme. I mean, they kept talking about how we need to go back and rescue them, but I didn't care.
And then, like, they would, like, they're like, where's Echo? Like, oh, he's off with Rex. I'm like, can we see that?
Right.
Like, I want to see what they're doing. Like, let's go on that adventure, please.
Instead of, like, hanging out in Pabu. I feel like they just played it very safe.
Yeah.
At the end of that season. Whereas with season one and two, they put big exclamations on the end of those first two seasons. And the third season just felt like nobody died.
Mm-hmm.
There was really not an epic battle, I guess. The only sequence that was somewhat, like, resonant for me was the scene where Hemlock has Omega and Crosshairs with,
with
Hunter, and they're on that walkway, and, like, that was...
And with his offhand, he does a cool shot.
Yeah, like, that was cool. That was good. But
and like the rain effects, like the animation of in the
rain.
Well,
the animation was the absolute highlight of the entire
season. And it's gotten better every season. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That animation, especially even I would say season three had the weakest of the animation of the first two seasons. Some of the animation, some of those episodes was absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. Like the things they do with light and water and sound and is like truly like it's almost like the animation is almost like a character.
Mm.
Like, just the visual things that they're doing, like, really, really good. I feel like season three was actually the weakest of the three visually, even though the animation was always really strong. Music, too. Season mm-hmm. three mm-hmm. soundtrack, like, I don't remember a time when I watched a show where, like, the beginning of every episode, like, the music, like, got you, like, right mm-hmm. in the mood for what was going to happen. And, like, I think that it's I think what frustrated me about season three was that it was just good enough to continue to justify the existence of that animation and music and storytelling, but it could have been so much better. I feel like it mm-hmm. could have been really strong, and I feel like it wasn't. But then it was never, I never felt as bad as I felt during some of the episodes of season two, where I was just like, devastated, like, oh, this is so,
like,
bad.
When Teo got, like, finally destroyed, I was like, yes. I've had just about enough of you, sir.
I think
I did like that episode, though, with the, like, the
yeah, that, that was a fun one.
But, like, Teo just was like, yeah. He had, like, one too many lines from him, and then he just gets, like, yeeted, and I'm like, yes, finally, jeez. But, like, the, yeah, some of those side mission ones in season two, it was like, those are some of the low points for sure.
Yeah. But I think season three, what saved season three was that it never fully went to that. And it really couldn't, because
mm-hmm.
you're trying to wrap up a story, but they still like that. Like, for me, one of the low points of season three was that episode where they went with Fennec Shand.
Oh yeah,
it was like
to space Florida. Yeah,
like it wasn't filler in the sense that
yeah.
it was like, we're here because mm-hmm. you have information.
But it was like, I know a guy ultimately.
But like,
it was a fetch quest.
Yeah, right. But it was like no real.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it looked that great. I
right.
don't think that the action
dark.
Was that compelling.
It was mostly shot in the dark.
Yeah.
It was so on the nose, space Florida
yeah.
or space Louisiana
right.
or whatever it
yeah.
was. Like
swamp people.
Swamp planet, not Dagobah though.
Like,
yeah.
But I think that, and I think that that's, yeah, it was just a classic example of like playing it safe. But I will say though that, with that, I mean, this is not just talking about season three, but like, I remember when they announced, I don't know how you, when they mm-hmm. announced The Bad Batch as a show, what were your thoughts?
No, was that after season seven had premiered and we saw The Bad Batch
yes.
and that?
Yeah.
And then they were like, now we're making a show off these guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I think a year late. No.
It was pretty soon. Because
it came out
like
August of 21.
It was that summer, like right after.
Right after they announced it.
Well, so, The Bad Batch have been around longer than when they premiered in season 7. They were actually a part of the unfinished episodes of Dave Filoni of the Clone Wars. That was going to be their original season. I think it was supposed to be a part of season 6, or the first half of season 6. The second half of season 6, sorry.
Which never
so,
aired because
yeah,
it was never finished.
Right.
Right.
Along with the episode with Anakin and Obi-Wan finding a kyber crystal on Utapau. That was part of the unfinished episodes. Dark Disciple, there were
Dark Disciples
that turned into a book.
Extracted from Clone Wars episodes, correct?
Yes.
Right.
And then there was supposed to be they did finish the animatics for that. And plus there was supposed to be a Cad Bane and Boba Fett episode.
Right.
That they had.
The animatic. I saw like the rough animatics for that.
Yeah.
How he got his like helmet ding.
Yeah.
Isn't that what that was?
And, yeah. Apparently there's a plate on Cad Bane's head in the Book of Boba Fett. So. And weird enough, there's a book called Timelines. Which
yeah, you were telling us about
yeah.
Cad Bane.
Uh huh. So okay. Anyway,
but I remember you were like, really a show about this guy, these guys?
Oh, I was so devastated. I was disappointed. I was like, I can't even believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had... Like, what we saw of the Bad Batch in Clone Wars Season 7 did nothing to make me think that they were going to make a show about him.
Right.
And then when they announced it, I just remember thinking, I'm going to watch it, but...
Right.
I don't have any, like, excitement about that. I had mm-hmm. zero expectations.
But then the premiere...
For that to
like
be any
the Order 66 and then Crosshair going the other way, you're like, oh,
it started strong, but it started strong because it was in the context of, it felt like, remember how they even like, the first episode, it was the Clone Wars thing, and then it burned out and it became the Bad Batch.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it really felt like Clone Wars Season 8.
Sure.
And it started very strong, and that caught me off guard. I was like, oh, this mm-hmm. is actually... And I would say that my general response to the whole thing is that, like, if I look at it from the time that they announced it to the end of Season 3, it's a win. Like, that's way better than I ever expected it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there were times when it was as bad as I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, that was definitely what I would put in the category of, like, a very pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Like, I was very pleasantly surprised by how well it was done, even though it wasn't perfect, it wasn't as strong as a lot of other Clone Wars storytelling. It did seem to meander sometimes and lose its way, but when I think about, like, to me, like we were saying, in light of like talking about like even like the ends of movies, like to me, one of the ways that you know how good a show is or a season is by the finale, right? Like, if the finale hits, that means that not only did they do the finale right, but they must have been doing something right the whole time to make the payoff feel like a payoff.
Yeah.
Which is why I was disappointed by the end of Season 3, because I was already invested in the characters, but like the payoff wasn't there. But I think that overall, Season 3 was really kind of embodied my thoughts, which was that it wasn't great, but way better than I expected it to be, and I enjoyed it
mm-hmm.
for what it was.
I think it was smart to do some of the bundling of the episodes.
Yes.
Like, if it had to, like, some of those, like, two, the bundles of two, really, would be like, oh, man, that would have been a bad choice to, like... But there's, like, that standalone with the female clone scientist episode that was basically just hers, and that was, like, a part one of two... where they bundled those two, and like that would have been like a disappointment to just have that one quick episode and then you gotta wait a week for the next one. I don't think they did that kind of bundling in the past, and that was like a frustration people had of like, if it's just like a one off filler, you're like, oh, that sucked, now I gotta wait. Like,
well, if it's only 23 minutes long
with credits yeah, it's like 19 minutes of content
and it's a filler and it's not good filler
and it takes a week to get
that's hard to keep momentum
right. So I think they figured out, they might have wanted to like strategically land on May 1st, like, or like finish the show right around May the 4th, you know? So they like bundled it strategically and picked, like, we don't want to premiere this during holidays, so we're going to wait till January and make it run. Was it January through May, or was it like March?
It was January.
Yeah, so like it ran for several months, but like 15 episodes could have been, you know, 5 months. Instead, it was condensed into three
mm-hmm.
with that strategic bundling versus just dropping it all at once. Like, so nowadays, that's like the death knell of a show. Like, when they don't like trust it, they just like drop them all at once quietly, right? Like Velma Season 2, like dropped without any fanfare because they're just like, they're contractually obligated to make it. So they just like made it and dropped it without anyone noticing all at once. Or like Echo was the same way, right? Like nobody liked mm-hmm. that. So they just like, they knew that was a turd. So they just like dropped it all at once, right? So it's like, you know, they did a little bit of that where they kind of knew like how the hype, or how like the hype cycle works, or like how the machine works, like the content reaction, content analysis, like, YouTube
machine.
You
have to insert some momentum.
They like, yeah, so they were like pacing it. Together. Yeah, so they knew what they had, and they would release it in batches mm-hmm. that they knew would like work for the cycles best. So they're getting smart to that, which is, I guess, appreciated, because I would have not liked to have like it drag out where it's like that I was like, a waste of 19 minutes, and now I gotta wait another week to see what happens.
Well,
and
not
like,
in a good way. Like when you do weekly releases,
yeah,
you it puts the pressure on each episode to
yeah
be good enough to stick with you for another week,
mm-hmm.
and make you want to see what happens next.
Yeah.
And the problem with a lot of the filler episodes is that they weren't very good, and they didn't make you want to see what was going to happen next.
And yeah.
That's I guess that's part of me that thinks, because when I think back to like Saturday morning cartoons,
yeah, that's
like,
very similar to that.
That's how it was, right? Yeah. Like every week was a new adventure.
If you missed one, it's like whatever, it didn't really tie in.
Yeah.
It's like you missed a Scooby-Doo episode.
So I feel like I sometimes have to check my expectations. Yeah. Like, hey, like...
Right.
You also got to keep in mind this is for kids, kind of. And...
But that, I don't know, are kids watching it? That's the thing, like, it's...
No.
Right? So it's like, that's where like they haven't figured out, like... Because you can do animation that is not for kids.
Oh, sure.
Nobody's done that. Like, in Disney, at least. Or at least
for Star Wars, you mean?
Yeah. But, like, I don't know any kids who are into Star Wars animation right now. Like, my kids aren't. They checked out a long time ago with, like, Bad Batch
know.
And all that.
I don't know.
They don't care about it. They like Marvel.
I don't know what... I mean, from my vantage point, like, it certainly seems to me like most... I mean, I could be wrong on this, but I feel like if you could break down the demographics of Star Wars fans, they're mostly older adults.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
You were kids in the originals or the prequels?
Well, like my coworkers.
Largely.
My coworkers, yeah. Brennan. Like right. Brennan said, I never even saw The Phantom Menace in theaters. Like,
right, because he was born in like 2005 or something.
He grew up on Clone... Like Clone Wars was his
okay.
hook.
Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't think anybody's going to be like, my introduction to Star Wars was the Bad Batch.
Right, yeah.
Like,
actually, I did meet somebody who, their introduction to Star Wars was Rebels, surprising.
Oh, I could see that.
So, and then...
When they were small children?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's gotten to that point. I mean...
Well, because if they were Rebels born in like the mid-2000s, ago, so. Then they were like 10 years old in the mid-2000s. Yeah. And now they're like... If you were born in 2005, you're like 19 right now, or turning 19. So you're like.
But here's the thing, though. And this is we're getting way off.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But my question becomes: like Disney seemed to be of a mind that they were like, "Look, we have to figure out a way to capture the next generation of Star. Like, we can't just cater to these people who are all going to be dead in 20 years."
Yeah. Like, right, yeah. Or at least not paying consumers anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if they're banking on my generation, right. like that,
you guys
gone.
Are, yeah. You're on your yeah.
We're gonna be leaving our VHSs to our kids pretty soon. Like
they'll donate them because they don't want them.
And I think that
really... Justin will buy them for pennies on the dollar. That's what will happen.
I think that what my concern, and it's one of the reasons why I'm rooting for the Acolyte, is my concern is they're not capturing a whole
generation. Right. It could be a dead franchise that doesn't successfully pass down to the next generation because...
Like within, like I would say like...
Yeah.
At where they're at right now, I would say there's a decent probability that in 25 years Star Wars will be... It'll still be there.
Right.
But it'll be, like...
More like a reference point, or...
I think there'll still be content. I think there'll still be content.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it will be far from being the...
Would it be like Planet of the Apes, which had a run in the 70s, and then went, like, dormant, and then tried in 2002, and then it finally, 50 years later, came back with this new trilogy... Where like Star Wars could there be like a dormant period of Star Wars where like once your generation's like checked out, like literally or just too old, and like it didn't pass off, like the 10-15 years of Disney handling it just didn't like diffuse into that Gen Z cohort, like it's gonna take like the next generation, like when is Gen Alpha or their kids gonna be the ones that like catch back on, like, oh, my grandpa liked this, their grandpa being like people my age right. when we're 50, right? Like that, like, is it going to take like, oh, this movie is 70 years old now. Oh, cool. Let's watch it. Like, what is this cool, like vintage cool thing, right? Like everything old is new again. Like the 70s well, vibe will be back,
I think,
you know,
I think that
in the 2050s or whatever.
Part of the, see, it's if that's the case, then that would have to mean that at some point Disney Star Wars really fails.
The only measure to success for me is that it keeps it like alive and thriving multi-generationally. Like there's a handoff and it's like
which
keeps the fire burning,
which
and
has
if
happened
it fails
three
to
times.
Do that. Yes. And like if they're the one that breaks the chain,
yeah.
That sucks.
Like,
you know,
I think that that's in question at this point.
Right. Yeah. It's like, it's in the balance.
Like for me, yeah. It's, will my grandson's generation,
mm-hmm.
when my grandson's generation is in their 20s,
yeah.
Is Star Wars going to be what it is right now?
Right.
I feel like no.
I feel like it's going the way of like the Cowboys. Like that's like literally a Toy Story. Like, the boomers, the John Wayne kids born in
the
early 50s.
Space toys.
And then when the space toys take over, like no one cares about cowboys anymore. And like now it's like, well, TikTok. And it's like Star Wars and like long form content, which to them is like a 19-minute animated video. That's long form content to these kids with like a 30-second time span, if that. Like their attention spans are shot.
But
so,
the
like,
question
they're just not
the
gonna
question
like,
is, the
you know,
question is that the case because it's just inevitable, right? Like no franchise can last forever? Or is it because there's actually a drop-off in quality and they're not putting out content that is good enough to win over?
That would be why it fails, because it could continue. It could reinvent itself. It could like be relevant every generation as long as they understand their demographic and like cater to them in some degree. Or like, I don't know, like if they're cognizant of that. But if they're just like, let's throw stuff at the wall, like that's an expensive and like low probability of success model. It's like, let's just throw stuff at the wall, or like let's see what the algorithm says, versus like let's do focus groups and like let's talk to real people instead of like what's the chatter on Twitter. Like you can't go off that and make things off of
algorithms. I think that's why. So like if you look at something like the Bad Batch, like, and I'd be more curious from your perspective, Justin, because as a child of the prequels,
okay,
right, you're a little closer to that. Like for me, when I hear my coworker from Best Buy say Clone Wars was my entry point to falling in love with Star Wars, and there's a part of me that's just like, really?
like
I believe you. And I'm sure there's more of you than just you.
Right.
But I find that hard to believe.
But like that means their like primary affinity isn't Han, Luke, and Leia.
Right.
In the original trilogy.
Or even Anakin and Obi-Wan in the movies.
Right. It's the
like
animated.
He said it was the Clone Wars.
Right.
So my there's a part of me like that is extremely skeptical that there's going to be someone like my coworker from Best Buy 20 years from now going, oh, my hook was the Bad Batch.
I know.
That was how I got into Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you're closer to like being a child of the prequels. Do you think that from the prequel era to the Disney era that we've lost ground, like in terms of like bringing in a whole nother generation, or are we more running on the fumes of all these 50-year-olds like me who are still living on nostalgia from the 70s?
Oh no. I definitely think it's growing. Which like I was thinking that, yeah, I think it might get at first I kind of thought that the fumes were kind of dying out, but then all of a sudden, like on YouTube, I'm starting to see a lot of first-time views on Star Wars, like the old movies, and the prequels, and the sequels, and the shows. So it's definitely, and plus, I really think we do kind of underestimate the power of a younger generation as well. That some things are kind of kept alive because of them.
I think that's definitely. So, I would agree.
Yeah.
Like I'm still
like the prequels are the biggest examples.
Yeah, Gen Z loving the prequels was like nobody saw that coming because like the
I didn't prequels see it coming.
Dumped on until Gen Z started being like, "Oh, we like this."
I didn't see like, that really? Coming at all.
Yeah, right.
And when
yeah.
I saw it, I was yeah. like, "Nah,
right." Not are they really. Being like, are they being trolls? Like, what is going yeah. on here? And like, no, they were legit. Like, no, they love it.
Well, my kids even. Oh. My kids even. Yeah. Who their first introduction to Star Wars was absolutely the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And I remember when the other day I was talking to one of my kids and they said basically like, yeah, no, Dad, the prequels are our, like, that's our sweet spot. Like, mm-hmm. and I was like,
yeah, that was
dang. Like, even my son, even Jake, who's yeah. 27, like,
right.
he gets the most excited. He was more tuned into the Bad Batch than he was to like Ahsoka or like, mm-hmm. like, and I think that because of that nostalgia of like the Clone Wars era of animation and the characters that, right. you know, and I think there's something that is, I think that to hear you say that, Justin, is to me like almost like, gives you hope, like almost like because I yeah. think that there's this part of me that thinks that the reason that I find it so hard to believe that the prequels and the Clone Wars hooked a whole generation is because I forgot what it's like to be a kid and encounter this content.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Like,
and I'm of the generation that like missed the Clone Wars because we were like. College and post-college age, and like, who's watching Cartoon Network when you're 19?
Right,
not me. So like, I
turns out,
well, like I was a kid. Well, like, yeah, I mean, like, when it's originally like, yeah. this is on Disney Plus or Disney Junior. Like the Rebels was like on.
It was on XD.
So. XD, like I didn't even know that was a channel, right? So it's like yeah. I was a kid, a tween for the prequels, and then kind of checked out. For like 10 years until like, oh, they're making The Force Awakens. And now I'm like 24 or whatever that was. And yeah, or I was almost 30 when that came out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, I had like the lost decade of 19 to 29 right. was like kind of, if there was any Star Wars, it was like, oh, I'll just like dust off my like Jedi Knight disc and play that
right.
game.
You would or go
like,
backwards.
I'll go back and like, yeah. I'll rewatch the original trilogy every once yeah. in a while. Maybe the prequels. But like this was before the prequels like came back in as being cool or whatever. So I was like, I don't care what anyone says. I like Attack of the Clones, right? And now it's like I'm like, oh, thank goodness somebody else likes it.
Right, right.
Like I don't have to be the one guy who likes it.
I mean, I do think.
But
that
I missed
that
the Clone
is,
Wars entirely.
I think that is, more. It proves the point, right? Like, it's like. Just because, you know, a bunch of college kids were right. checked out of the Clone Wars, and then, like, under the radar, there's a right. bunch of kids watching the Clone Wars and thinking it's the coolest thing of their childhood.
Right.
And it's like, oh, wow. Like, who would have thought?
But the point of that, or, like, the degree of that is, like, as the original trilogy fades farther and farther into the past, and, like, the ties of that and the legacy of that fades in the current stuff they're making.
Yeah.
Like the more in the rear view that is, the original generations for whom that's the dearest thing almost have to like say like, I'm now at my stage of life of a fandom life that I'm like the grandparents can like sit back and watch the kids play with like the kids are having fun. Their grandkids are having fun with whatever. And it's like, well, I played with Woody when I was a kid and they're playing with Buzz and they are having as much fun with Buzz as I was with Woody. And it, just because they don't like the Woody that I gave them, right. the Woody doll, doesn't mean
right.
that they hate Woody or hate me. Like they're having as much fun.
Time marches
like
on.
It just, it's different. And like it's spacemen for them and it was cowboys for me. And like, I don't know, like there's, you kind of like have to let it go in a sense
mm-hmm.
because like, yeah, like if
they, I mean
if,
that's essentially what Marvel,
yeah.
Marvel was. Marvel took the front seat in the pop culture.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. Like the yeah. my kids are way more into Marvel than they ever were mm-hmm. of Star Wars, and like
oh,
I have to be like, yeah, I'm like
superheroes. Marvel,
yeah.
Marvel as a franchise,
yeah.
in every conceivable way has replaced Star Wars in the sense of like
the pop culture, like
front of mind.
Yes,
like absolutely
the pantheon, as it were. Yeah.
yeah. But
and that's okay. Like I'm okay with that. I'm like, I ideally they would love Star Wars as much as I do, but I'm like, it's fine. They they love that I love it.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, oh, well, Dad, like, here, like, we got you the Star Wars thing because you like it. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. Like, but it's like, ideally we'd share it. And I'm sure, like, if, like, well, it, whenever they make this Rey movie, I'm sure we'll go see that. Like, we'll be engaged in, like, the big banner stuff. But, like, they're not going to want to watch every show comes out.
Right.
Necessarily.
My kids are already
But, like, the movies will, like, probably watch and share those memories. But, like, they're, like, movie-only fans, right? Like your mom or grandma, right? It's like, they'll go see a Star Wars movie, but they're not going to watch... They're not going to subscribe to Disney Plus year-round to watch random content.
Yet at the same time, right, they're... That was why I was asking, and when I'm talking, mm-hmm. But there probably is kids around your kids' age who are, like, developing their own love of Star Wars through the Disney Plus era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably, yep.
That's it seems inevitable that that would be the case.
Yeah.
The question for me, and I think the Bad Batch is a really interesting barometer of that. It's like, is the Bad Batch this generation's Clone Wars? Is the Disney Plus era, like, is that this generation's Clone Wars? Is the Acolyte gonna be, like, I think the Acolyte, I mean, I've heard,
like, the Mandalorian closer.
People
to
have
it,
been saying, right? This for ever since Disney took over, I would say that the Acolyte is the most important project that they've done.
Yeah, because it, like we were saying just before you came in, like, because the Acolyte is a complete blank slate of, like, a timeline, like it's an era that's not been, like, it will either stand or fall completely on its own merits as its own, like, you stepped up to bat and swung without the T-ball, without the guide, like, the yeah. guardrails are off, the kid gloves are off, like. And if you fail at this, it's like you have no excuse. You can't be like, oh, well, the legacy characters are in the way.
The way we handled so-and-so.
We're tied up with the lore. Like, our hands are tied with, like, constraints of timelines. And it's like, nope. Yeah. Like, there's no excuses. But then you fully gain credit for it, or you have to fully take the blame for it. And it's like, what can you do with, like, a blank slate is the question.
And I would say that to say that the deck is stacked against them is the understatement of the century.
Right.
There are already people who hate this show.
Yeah, just look at all the ratios and all the clips and trailers.
There are already people who hate the show, won't watch the show, or will watch it just to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that... It is what it is. Like, Disney made their bed and some people don't like it. But at the end of the day, the reality is that if that's the environment that this show gets released into and then it flops, what's the saying? Ooh, deep doo-doo, right? Like, we're in big trouble if you can't come up with the next story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't, like, you know...
But when they, like, blame, like, well, we had a headwind, and, like, the fans killed it. Like, if we had better fans, this would have been okay. Like, they would have been better received.
Well, I mean, that's, like, the argument that they're making already, right?
Right, yeah.
It's like, oh, well, these people are, you know, they're sabotaging,
right,
this
before. Right, they're ist and
phobes. But the problem is that I don't... Yeah. I think that's a misplaced... That's like, well, actually, maybe they feel that way because you kind of suck.
Right, that's because, like, yeah, they're like, look, you just hate, like, women, or you hate whatever. It's like, no, we hate bad stories, right?
Right,
but like, bad storytelling.
I think that there's something more going on here with the Acolyte, right? Like, a lot of this hate,
right,
simply has to do with words that have come out of the showrunner's mouth that may or may not have anything to do with Star Wars or the show,
right?
And, I mean, for me personally, like, I don't know that there's anything I care less about. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't care. I don't care about that at all. But no, my point is, like, when do you ever watch content thinking, well, who did the director vote for? Like, I never think that.
Right.
Yeah.
I might think, hey, does this guy do good work before?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, from what I understand, even though I never watched anything from Leslie Headland, she has. And that's all I would... That's about as far as my care would go.
Right.
Like, oh. I don't care... Like, when they... I remember when the Matrix... That last Matrix movie came out. I didn't even know that the... Who were those people?
Wachowski brothers.
I didn't even know were men who became
now.
Women.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know what? When I found out, I didn't care. I don't care.
Right.
Like, I didn't hear that and go, oh, well, that's going to be a garbage movie.
because of that.
Because of right. that. Like, that's yeah. just not... Right. I don't... Like, to me, there's a very clear distinction between, like, the fact that Leslie Headland is a lesbian who's married to a woman. Like, is even if someone finds that objectionable, right? Like,
right.
like if you're going to make that the criteria for whether you'll watch something or like it, you might as well just stop watching TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You might as well just stop watching anything. Well, I think it's that
they're, like, they don't want, whatever reason, even though they don't, when they don't like it, they don't want, like, their directors or creators, like, fingerprints or, like, message inserted in stuff and, like, put in your face. But, like, they don't, you don't care about it when it's, like, if it's in a message you agree with, then you're like, oh, yeah, bring it on. But, like, you know what I mean? Like,
but that's not the message.
They think it, like, diffuses into it somehow.
Don't get me wrong. You know? Now, I'll qualify what I just said by saying if I watch The Acolyte and it feels like an advertisement for wokeness, that will bug the heck out of me.
Right.
I don't, because that's not, I don't want
that's that. The zeitgeist right now. It's like everyone's like on like woke patrol or whatever, like whatever that even means. But like,
I can tell you that
that's like, the culture war.
Every part time I've ever yeah. heard of something where people are blowing up the internet over some wokeness that crept mm-hmm. into Star Wars, mm-hmm. and then I go watch that content or read it or whatever, and I'm like,
this is dumb.
Where is it?
Right.
Like, I don't even see it.
Right.
Geeks and gamers.
Yeah,
like, I don't even see it.
Well, I saw it. I mean, like, yeah. so they like the dumbest take I saw was like in Tales of the Empire when like in the Barriss story,
they kept saying they,
like implying that like it's a like non-binary person that they were fighting, and I'm like, I know, oh yeah, it's that. Ruined, it's ruined. Like, you can't unwatchable. Like, I'm like, dude, that arc had way more problems than that. I'm sorry, like that. If that's your like that's your biggest problem with it, like you're not paying attention to like how you like structure a story because there's bigger problems than that. Like, don't get hung up on that part.
That literally did not even enter my mind
right.
until someone said it.
Right.
I think it was Jake that said it or something.
Yeah.
Like that. I had no idea.
And then it didn't even occur to me. And like you're like it's woke because they mentioned. I'm like no, like it's not woke that like somebody exists in a story. As a non-binary person, them merely existing does not make it woke.
Well, I mean,
whatever that even means, but like,
well, not even
if they're like, even, I'm going to stand on my soapbox and now give you a sermon or give you a TED talk about this, and it's like this side project, like then it's like out of place and like the whole like story right. stops and like yes. let's do a sermon. That's woke, quote unquote. But like them just existing, like oh, it's like a lesbian with the lesbian haircut in my Star Wars, existing, without saying I'm a lesbian or whatever. Like you know, like the. The like, yeah, side yeah, hair, like Sabine. Everyone's got the side haircut now, or like the uglification, blah, blah, blah. That's so woke. I'm like, no, they're just, like, just, it just existing. Like, you're taking that out of it. Like, you're,
even if, you know, even you're if, interpreting even if that. It is inserted intentionally,
right?
That doesn't mean that the story's automatically bad,
right? Or, yeah, I mean, and you're free, like, everyone's free to hold their own opinions of whatever, even if they're like as dumb as they come, but like, But like they let it, it's like it's the poison you drink. Like they say, like it's like you drink poison hoping it'll kill the other guy. Like it's just like it makes you like a.
I have to force myself to not like his.
Yeah,
music.
If you're like that much of a Puritan, as it were, or like a fundamentalist Puritan, like you're just gonna make yourself miserable, and you're like you will have no, you'll like banish all culture from your life if you're like that persnickety about like what you let into your filter or not. You know, nothing will come through ultimately.
Well, I think ultimately what it comes down to is just the fundamental reality that. I mean, do you really believe that someone whose political views don't line up with you can't make content that you would like?
I think
Or can they?
I think that's what they think.
Like, they can't make content.
Or at least that's what they want their audience to think, right? I think that there's a difference.
In the YouTube space like, or in the
they
podcast
need you
space.
Outraged to keep tuning in.
You need to be
in.
Consistently outraged.
Yes. You can't ever be seen to be like, oh, I actually like this thing. Like, you're never going to admit that, like, oh, this thing I was raging on before it came out, I actually liked it. They're not going to say I liked it. They're going to find a reason to say, like, why it sucks.
Again,
it's like a self-inflicted wound.
You're
like,
in your own echo chamber
right,
now. It's like, you know, you're going to, you know.
We should wrap up with, what, ratings of the season overall?
All right. So we'll be rating season three's as a season.
As a whole?
And then the series as a whole, which is going to be pretty
series.
Tough. Cause,
okay.
All right, so, I'm going to have to do the point thing on this one. I'm sorry.
Hello. I'm gonna say the whole series.
I'm gonna give season 3 a 7.8 out of 10.
Ooh. Okay.
And then as a whole, there are a lot of memorable moments in the show. I mean, the bone-chilling thing in season 2 with Palpatine.
Oh yeah. That's right. He just like comes up and just like drops the mic and then goes back down. What a boss.
You talking about the scene where he
like comes up in the Senate and just like
frames Rampart.
Yeah.
Rampart, and then he's like
he eviscerates him publicly.
then he kind of video kills the radio star, the clone troopers with stormtroopers.
Yeah, yeah.
The finale at Kamino, Tech's death, that one episode with Crosshair,
the one where he kills the Imperial,
outpost or whatever,
and then the scene where Omega reunites with Wrecker and Hunter, then they kind of find out that Crosshair helped, which that scene was I thought happened a little too soon, but it was still interesting, nonetheless. So there's that, but here's the... Well, obviously, if you guys know me, I have this little thing where I say, if you had fun with it, then it did its job.
Right.
And I still stand by that. And did I have fun with this series as a whole? The answer is yes. I definitely had memorable moments with it. I think that's more so because of the environment that I was in with you guys, like every time, and having to avoid the internet. So, and I also want to throw in another one that I feel like it's not as positive, but I still think it's important. Will I go out of my way to see this again? I want to say I'll see this more than Andor. I'm sorry. Or Book of Boba Fett. Definitely more than Resistance. I've only watched that both
I couldn't even
both seasons that. Once.
I never finished that.
So, but unfortunately, I do see myself watching. Well, obviously, Clone Wars is going to be a go-to for me. I do see myself watching Rebels more than the show, though. Maybe it's nostalgia talking because we're actually entering the 10th year for Rebels.
Oh yeah.
Or whatnot, but I do find myself thinking the characters in Rebels were a little more memorable than the Bad Batch for some reason. Maybe it's because of the diverse characters.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think
they're
think
not all clones of each other.
Right. But I do also admire that the clone that the show kind of has that stacked against them.
Yeah.
And Bradley D. Baker just
rides that they're still their own characters, even though they're the same genetics. Yeah.
Which. That's another thing. The voice acting in this was phenomenal.
That's a classic example for me of something that's behind the scenes that makes me appreciate the show more. Remember when we were
one guy doing
at
all
Celebration
these
and he was on stage?
Oh, yes.
And he literally
did
a reading. And he's toggling into all these voices. And you're just like, it's the same guy.
That's crazy.
And that alone gives the show a few points for me. Just knowing that gives the show points that I wouldn't maybe give it if it was a different person doing all those voices. And honestly, that going to that panel at Celebration probably gave me some points with the Bad Batch that I wouldn't maybe normally get. Which I think goes to what you're saying, a lot of times, the level of enjoyment of Star Wars does come down to
the shared experience.
Mm-hmm. So you were, it was 7.8 for the show or the season?
So, yeah, I said 7.8 for this season.
Okay, so then the show.
So for the show, definitely, and I'm kind of, yeah, I'm trying to compare it with other shows, which most of them are around the 8 or 9 marks. And plus, and I know I get hammered for this a lot, but I do strongly believe The Last Jedi is a 7.5 for me. So that's a very middle movie. But I did like Bad Batch better than Last Jedi. So I'd have to go with it being a 7.7 out of 10.
So basically this roughly the same score for the season and the show as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah, close.
I would give the season like 6.5. Like just above mid overall, but like it didn't have as big of a variation as season 2. Like season 2 had episodes that were like 2 for me, and then like a 9.9. I think I rated that Crosshair like Wilderness one, the Outpost one, mm-hmm. like a 9.9, like 9.904, mm-hmm. right? Crosshair's number, right?
Yes, I do remember
like
that.
Crosshair's like tag number is what I gave mm-hmm. that one. Like it's like mm-hmm. like quintessential. That's the quintessential Bad Batch story was that episode. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of sums it all up to me.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's really highs and low lows in 2. Yeah. 3 was like more mid all around, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And like 1 was somewhere in between those two. So yeah, like this, and then the show overall is like 1, like 7 or just under 7 overall. Like, you know, somewhat mid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'll rewatch it all. I don't know, like, I don't know how on board I am with like what's going to be next. Like I'm not, depends on what they do with like Omega. Like, are they going to have her at that age being in the early rebellion as like a pilot? Is that the next thing? Is that like a flash forward? But like the next show is going to be somewhere in between Bad Batch age and that future age where she's like 16 or 18 instead of 20 something like she would have been for that one. Right. Like that was many, many years in the future. I think if the rebellion is a thing, she would have been like 27 or 8 in that, which seems way too old to be like going off the first time. But anyway, I think 3 was just kind of mid for all the good and bad that is. As I guess I preferred that to like the never know what you're going to get season 2. It was just like it's either going to be terrible or awesome episode. You just don't know. 3 was just kind of like frustratingly mid. Especially in that second half. The first half like was like, oh, this is kind of on a roll, right? And then like kind of gets bogged down in that second half. And then like with some of the elements of the finale, I'm like, man, like that the other crew would have been cool to see for longer. Like some of the like head scratching, like, huh. And like we didn't talk about Rex or have anything with Rex or any of the other clones we know about. Didn't do anything with them really.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Rex adventure, I don't think, in season 3 at all.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, some weird choices. Like, odd. Like, you didn't bring the whole crew in for this finale or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like an end game moment or whatever.
I think that is exactly... So, what are you saying? You gave... What was season 3 in the whole thing?
Season 3 is, like, a 6.5, and the whole show is, like, 6.9 or a 7 for me.
Yeah, going back, when you guys were talking about this, and it was like, when I think about rewatch, I don't think I would watch the whole thing over again. I think I would watch... There are... Mm-hmm. The frustrating thing about this show for me overall was that there were really high highs and really low lows.
Mm-hmm.
And that is frustrating.
Yeah, that shouldn't be.
And... I remember very clearly, like, season 2 was really... I was almost getting to the point where I'm like, I don't know, man, if I can finish this. And I remember Mandalorian season 3.
Yeah, it was premiering at the same time.
Kicked off.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember we were watching both.
Yeah, back to back.
And I remember consistently somehow
Bad Batch is better
Bad
than
Bad Batch Mando. Came out of the shadows yeah. and started kicking Mandalorian's ass.
With like the Lizzo episode. Was, like, yeah. was that like paired with the Crosshair one? You're like, what?
I mean,
how is the animation beating live action? This is insane.
Yeah. Well, how was the Bad Batch right. animation that was could yeah. was at times
yeah.
in my view so bad. And I think that this show, I would say, if I were going to put a label on it, it would be mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but having said that, I go back to my original thought, which was, if I look at this show from my introduction to them in Clone Wars Season 7, the announcement that they were going to do a show about them to the end of Season 3, I have to give it points for exceeding...
Right. Like it grew on you.
I was expecting it to be like the Resistance. I was expecting it to be just so god-awful that I would just tune out. I didn't think I was going to be able to...
Right.
I was literally only going to watch it because, well, that's the next Star Wars, and I'm going to at least give it a chance.
Yeah.
And I ended up staying tuned in for the whole thing. But there were times when I was like, you're about an episode away from losing me. And then they would do just enough to get me back. So I think for that reason, I would say that, and I think Season 3 really embodied that. Like, better than it should have been, better than I expected, but yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. Like, I would say Season 3, I'm going to give Season 3 6.5.
That's what I said, yeah.
It was, and as I'm sitting here thinking about it and talking about it, it's a 6.5. It's not even a 7. It was just barely just, I feel like it was really riding on the coattails of the first two seasons and it never really staked its claim to being the last season of a good show. And I really feel like they played it way too safe at the end.
Yeah.
The show as a whole, again, mixed bag, but I'm going to give it credit for being a really scrappy underdog overachiever. And I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Because I think that I had times where I was like, you're saying like, well, we're in like 2 or 3 territory. And there were times where we were in like
moments
episodes. Of 10.
Yeah. Some episodes were in that 9 and some moments of some episodes
were like even higher.
Yeah. yeah.
And like that scene where all the clones were standing there in the first season and Palpatine is giving his speech.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that was epic.
Right. This is like a new empire or whatever.
Yeah. That was a continuation of the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. It set the story of the clones in the bigger story post Revenge of the Sith, like where we can actually see it from their perspective, which is what the Clone Wars was always about. And if they could have just been just a little more consistent and carried that story all the way through in an effective way, like I really feel like by the end of Season 3, I was like, oh, you could have done so much more with the story of these guys.
Yeah.
But
so
I feel like all the payoffs were in the first two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Season 3 was just kind of like, well, we got to wrap this up. The end.
Speaking of the end.
Yeah.
Send us out, Justin.
All right. So that is the end of the Bad Batch meetings as a whole. And I just want to thank you guys so much if you guys listened from the very first Bad Batch meeting episode.
Like 3 years ago.
To now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It really means a lot to us, and I hope that we definitely broke that down for you and helped give perspectives on the show. For the future of Trench Run Report, we will be covering Tales of the Jedi and Tales of the Empire sometime soon. Acolyte's coming out, so we'll definitely touch up on that. After that is Skeleton Crew, and then after that,
Andor, we don't know. 2.
So we're gonna have to try to find more content and kind of dive into maybe some of the books late.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to Celebration in Japan in a year.
Yes, so that's definitely a big thing to look forward to. Mm-hmm. But until then, may the Force be with you.
Always. Great shot, kid. That was one in a million.